Hey, what's up, Cubs fans? Welcome to episode 102. We're talking a little bit about the Cubs and their walk-off loss to the Giants yesterday, 5-4. We'll talk a little bit about the bullpen and Carl Edwards in the second segment, and then in our final segment, we'll finish up with what happened in the NL Central. And there's at least one interesting game yesterday that I think is worth talking about from an NL Central team. So let's get to it. How's it going, man?
Doing good. You know, tough loss again yesterday, of course. But I mean, you know, tough to be too upset with the Cubs the way they were playing, at least.
Right. Yeah. So they fell behind early 4-0 to the Giants. The entire game had that kind of they aren't going to win feel to it.
Yeah. I was very surprised when Javi hit that home run.
Yeah. And they had a great scoring opportunity in the first inning and they failed to push a run across. And then the Giants in the first inning scored. You know, they hit the leadoff home run and then it was three runs specifically because a weak ground ball right back to Mike Montgomery deflected off his glove into no man's land and for an infield hit. And then there was like a couple base hits after that and three runs come across. And, you know, that was kind of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that basically decided the game right then and there. It just like you said, the field just never felt like the Cubs were going to make something happen.
Right. Yeah, they did rally. Chris Bryant hit a two-run home run in his return. Jason Hayward and Javi Baez hit home runs. And James Norwood made his major league debut, but he allowed the game-winning hit to Andrew McCutchen in the 13th inning. So today, the Cubs are off. Tomorrow begins the final series of the first half, which is a three-game set in San Diego. The Cubs announced yesterday that they've juggled the rotation a little bit. Tyler Chatwood is going on Friday. Hendricks on Saturday on his normal regular rest. And then Lester on Sunday, and that will put him in a position where he's unusable for the All-Star game. That's a little grimy, but I get it because the Cubs are more important. Yeah. But it seems like they specifically juggled the rotation just to make sure he couldn't pitch. Which I'm sure they cleared that with him first, but it just seems like, you know, kind of a head scratcher.
It was a little, it was almost like too deliberate. It was just like, I mean, and especially like, you know, John Lester was just talking about how he's trying to buy an All-Star jersey and stuff. Clearly he's excited. It's got to be a bummer. But yeah, like you said, I'm sure they talked to him about it because, you know, Lester's a pro through and through and he knows what's more important.
Right. And I mean, he has a good relationship with Theo Epstein, obviously. So it wouldn't be something that they would do to him if he was really adamant about pitching. But I get why they don't want any of their pitchers going in the All-Star game.
No. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't either, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, it'd still be fun to see John Lester pitch. But, yeah, you know,
right.
Full perspective there.
I mean, and he's not exactly John Lackey, but he is getting up there in age. And at this point, the rest might be better for him in the second half because they've relied on him a lot in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, like we've talked about a couple times, he's been essentially their only consistent starter throughout the whole season so far. Everyone else has had some issues or health issues or whatever it may be. So, yeah, clearly, I mean, you don't want to put too many innings on Lester at 33, 34 years old now. But, you know, at the same time, he would still be cool to see him in an All-Star game. I'm sure he was excited to do that. But, yeah, I mean, there's a big picture here, and it's the Cubs getting to the postseason and being successful there.
Right, and it's not exactly as if the Cubs don't have any other all-stars. I know last year it was just Wade Davis, and if he hadn't been used, you know, you would have seen no Cubs at all at the All-Star weekend, which is weird for a team that had just won the World Series and would have been in the NLCS again. But this year, they've got Javi Baez starting at second base and Wilson Contreras starting at catcher. I had kind of hoped to see Lester not necessarily start the game because I think that honor should go to Jacob deGrom, but yeah. I was hoping Lester would come in second and maybe throw an inning to Wilson Contreras and then both of them could exit the game. I thought that would have been really cool, especially because much was made about the relationship between Wilson Contreras and John Lester and whether they'd be able to work together because Lester needed David Ross and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, right. Wilson Contreras not being a great framing catcher. So that was a conversation for a long time. And to see them, you know, him throwing to Contreras in the All-Star game would really just kind of close the book on that, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that, honestly. That'd be just a nice little like sentimental moment, but also kind of like a, ha, he's actually great. He doesn't need a 39-year-old catcher to tell him where to pitch.
Right, yeah. No, that it would have been really cool, but we can imagine it in our minds because it was a possibility they both were all-stars. So,
Yeah.
Anyway, we can wrap on that. What do you think about the San Diego series? Obviously, the Padres are no good. They're one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive team in baseball. Mm-hmm. The Cubs have Chatwood going Friday. You know, it's like a unstoppable force against an immovable object. Like a team that refuses to score versus a pitcher that refuses to stop giving up runs.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what to expect. I mean, the Padres are pretty bad at, you know, clearly offensively, they're one of the worst teams in baseball. But, you know, that on that other token, Chatwood has been one of the most, like, just uncontrollable pitchers so far this year with, you know, leading the league in walks and all that. So, I don't think there's a single team Chatwood could go up against where I'm feeling confident, to be perfectly honest at this point. But I mean, Padres are a good team for a rebound, so let's hope Chatwood can pull together and maybe show what he can do against a team that's clearly scuffling at the plate.
Yeah, and I know there were a lot of Cubs fans that are upset when they saw that there was some juggling going on with the rotation that hadn't been announced yet. No one thought it was Lester. Everyone thought it was, oh, they're juggling it so Chatwood doesn't pitch.
Right.
That's not the case. I don't think there was any scenario where they were not going to give him at least two more starts, one before the All-Star break and then one after to see if maybe that rest helps him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, we talk about all the time how we need to get guys plate appearances to work through their struggles. Chatwood probably the same situation. I know it's tough to continue to keep giving him starts, but you think about what the other options are really for the Cubs at this moment. There aren't really anyone that's maybe like more enticing for the fact that they, you know, they're a little bit more of an unknown, whereas Chatwood, we can consistently almost guarantee he's going to probably walk some guys, and unless his stuff is really on, probably struggle. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, you just got to accept for what he is and, you know, let him eat the innings now. And hopefully, you know, he figures it out later, or the Cubs find a different, you know, option later on this season.
Yep. That's where I am with it, too. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the bullpen. So when we were talking about what we wanted to discuss on this podcast, I asked you and you said, CJ Edwards and his importance to the Cubs. And I thought that's a really great topic, especially with how dominant he looked the other night. And we haven't talked about him. We haven't talked about him a lot. The Cubs have had just a really deep bullpen overall. And because of that DL stint, Edwards is, if I'm counting here, sixth on the team as a reliever in innings pitched. So he's not been abused. I feel like it's been a lot better lately because Joe has been trusting and going to a lot of different guys.
Yeah, that was the exact name I was going to mention. So that would be the one guy I feel like abused. But beyond that, I mean, of course, the DL kept CJ off for, you know, almost 2 weeks. We're seeing now that he's at, you know, somewhere around 26 innings, I think. That's pretty solid for a guy that, you know, probably pitched a career high in innings last year. He's just, when he's on, clearly, like he was on a couple nights ago against the Giants, I mean, the guy is lights out. His curveball's incredible. His cutter looks fantastic. His fastball can touch triple digits if he needs it to sometimes. He's just kind of the full package. And when he's locating and figuring it out, I mean, clearly he strikes out close to 40% of batters.
Yeah, if I had one complaint about the Cubs bullpen, it would be this, and it's something that I complained about a little bit at the time that they signed him. It's that their best and most expensive reliever, Brandon Morrow, is a guy that for the last month, there have been more days where Brandon Morrow has been active on the team, but came to a situation where he should pitch, and they're like, no, he's probably being rested because he pitched yesterday, or you know, he pitched 2 days ago, so he's not going to pitch today probably. And it's like, come on. I mean, this is, you know,
right.
It's fine. It's fine for now. They have a deep bullpen. I don't think it's a problem getting through the season with it, but at some point he's going to have it ramped up. I mean, think back to last year in late September, Joe was going to Wade Davis for more than one inning, trying to get him to the point where he could come into a postseason game and go, you know, 2 1/3 or something like that. That doesn't seem like something they're going to be able to trust Morrow to do. And it's just frustrating to have your best and most expensive reliever, the guy who should be your dominant force in the bullpen, he can only go one inning, and he can really only go every once in a while. He couldn't go, you know, 2 days and then off day and then 2 days. That wouldn't be possible for him. So it just seems right. Like, you know, let me rephrase. It would be possible for him because the Dodgers used him like every single game last year. It just seems like the Cubs are unwilling to do that. So I don't know how that's going to shake out.
Yeah, it is weird. And like you said, like we had guys like, you know, Wade Davis and even like Aroldis Chapman could go two innings at three or two and a half innings if he needed to. Of course, we saw how that ended in the World Series. But the Cubs had some closers that had the ability to kind of stretch themselves out. And Moro probably has that ability, and the Cubs could maybe lean on him as the season gets on. Maybe they try and see how that goes later in the second half. But yeah, for the moment right now, they're just very scared, clearly injury-wise, for Moro. Because if he does get hurt, the Cubs bullpen could be okay for a bit, but it takes a big step back if they do lose Moro. So I understand why they're being safe with him, but it also is like it's a bummer because you want to have that guy that goes in there, and you know if you need to call on him in, you know, the beginning of the eighth inning or even late the seventh, like you can get him. You can go get him and be like, all right, Brandon, you've got to go get six outs. Can you do that? And you know, for Wade Davis, I think that was that was a given. Like, all right, yeah, Davis is gonna come and shut this game down. For Brandon Moro, you know, maybe it's because we haven't seen him do that yet, or maybe the injury scares or whatnot are kind of make it a little apprehensive. It is bothersome, though, to see that and not be able to have that guy you just absolutely trust.
Yeah, and it's possible I'm nitpicking here. The one thing that really got me was yesterday, and I don't want to throw Jesse Rogers under the bus, but when they went to Luke Farrell in the 10th inning in the tie game, and somebody tweeted at Jesse Rogers, and he quote tweeted it and mocked the guy. He said, why isn't Brandon Moro in the game here? And Jesse's like, is this a serious question? And I get that, you know, Jesse's response is essentially they want to save him for a potential save on the road. But, you know, Luke Farrell's been good, but if he gives up a walk-off home run, you left your best reliever in the bullpen to not pitch a situation to get you to the point where you could take the lead. So it's the Buck Showalter thing all over again,
right?
much smaller scale, obviously, but you know, I just, and eventually Moro did pitch, but it was like, why isn't he in the game? I mean, maybe there was a reason for that I'm missing, but that was really my thing. There's one other thing that I wanted to bring up, though, and that's that the Brewers have had the best bullpen in baseball this year,
right?
We talked about Steve Cishek being the only guy who's really been quote unquote abused by the Cubs. So he's at 41 and a third innings. He's the only pitcher the Cubs have that has topped 40 innings. Behind him is Justin Wilson at 37 and two thirds and Pedro Strop at 37 and a third. Those are the only two that have topped 30 innings. So that's three guys over 30 and one over 40. Behind that, it's Morrow at 28 and two thirds, Luke Farrell at 28 innings, Carl Edwards at 26 and two thirds, and Randy Rosario at 26. On the Brewers side, Josh Hader is at 46 and a third innings. Dan Jennings is at 46 and a third innings. Jeremy Jeffress is at 45 and a third. Taylor Williams and Jacob Barnes are at 36 innings. And then after that, it's Matt Albers, who's been on the DL for a while, who's at 28 and a two thirds. And Corey Knebel, who was on the DL for like a month and a half, he's at 24. Yeah. So the Brewers have three guys who have more innings pitched than who each have like five innings more than the Cubs top guy, Steve Cishek. And they have two more guys who have over 30 innings pitched. So that's five guys over 30 and three over 40. That's really abusing your bullpen. And I can imagine there'll be a situation in the second half, maybe in August, where those arms start getting a little tired.
Yeah, I don't think that's unrealistic at all. When you think about some of these guys, I mean, I don't think the majority of these guys have ever really been worked like this hard. I mean, Josh Hader's not necessarily a rookie by any means, but I mean, he's younger and hasn't necessarily been as key of a piece to a bullpen as he has this year. I don't know how. I mean, it's a lot of wear and tear basically to put you know, guys you're going to absolutely need as you come to the postseason. And, you know, you could say, well, maybe if they don't use these guys now, the Brewers don't have this lead they have now. And it's like, well, sure, yeah, that could be the case. But also, like, you know, you could have the lead now, but if you're not built to succeed later for the full season, clearly that's an issue. You know, that's me kind of speculating, of course. It's not, like, necessarily guaranteed that because their usage is so high, they're going to drop down. But, I mean, that's usually what we see with most relievers. If we saw the same thing with the Cubs last year, really just pushing, you know, putting a ton of workload on, you know, Strope, Davis, and CJ. Brian Dunson's picked up the slack a little bit last year and whatnot, but I mean, clearly those three guys were like the guys for Joe. And, you know, this year it's a lot more balanced. You have a guy like Shishak who's built to go two innings or can kind of go up against anyone, and that helps a ton because it gives him a lot of flexibility. But you also at the same time can't burn out the one guy that's letting you have the flexibility. So it's just like, it's a tough thing to balance. And I get you want to come in and get these wins, but you know, big picture, you've got to think about it, especially if you're a team like the Brewers or the Cubs that are clearly going to be, you know, making a push to the postseason and should probably both be there.
Yeah, and, you know, for the Cubs, they're in a situation where they can start resting Cishek a little bit more in the second half and relying on guys like Wilson and Strope and Farrell and Carl Edwards, who hasn't thrown that many innings. So there is infrastructure there with the Cubs that they can turn to these guys for help. With the Brewers, do you really want to? I mean, obviously Corey Knebel, he was injured, so he's not going to throw a ton of innings this year. But Matt Albers, he's been on the DL. When he comes back, are you relying on him a lot? I mean, this is, you know, how do you get Hader, who pitches multiple innings for you, and a guy like Dan Jennings and Jeremy Jeffress, who's just been lights out, how do you get those guys rest unless you have starters going deep, which they really haven't for the Brewers?
They don't.
Yeah. I don't think there's an answer to that other than trading for maybe like a really good starting pitcher, and even that is only going to solve the problem one day out of every five.
Yeah, and from what it seems like so far, the rumors we've had come through, I've seen the Brewers connected to Lance Lynn. I don't know if that's going to do it.
No.
I don't think that's going to be the guy that pushes you over the top and saves your bullpen, unfortunately.
No, not at all. I've seen, if we just want to riff on this a little bit before we go to the final segment, I've seen some rumors of the Cubs being interested in putting together a package for Jacob DeGrom. The Mets would absolutely want a player that the Cubs would not want to give up.
Yeah, I think so too. People keep referencing guys like Elmora and Happ, plus like another piece, potentially like Addison Russell or something like that, or whatnot for, you know, plus like three or four prospects they can name or whatnot to put together a piece. Even that just seems kind of light. I don't know. I mean, DeGrom's got control through his 2020, I think, for another two seasons. He's clearly been one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like you said earlier, he's probably going to get the nod for the starter for the All-Star game for the NL. The pieces they're going to want back are going to have to be very good, and the Cubs are so prospect poor right now, it's going to take major league pieces, and the Cubs have been as reluctant as anyone in baseball to flip anyone off their 25-man roster. So I just don't see it happening. I just don't see it at all.
Yeah, and so like, let's put together a hypothetical deal and assume the Mets say yes.
Sure.
Let's say it's Ian Happ and Addison Russell, and then you want to add in, you know, like two or three decent prospects. I mean, obviously this is probably too light for Jacob DeGrom, but let's say that that's a trade the Mets are really interested in. You still have to figure out how to fill that in on the positional side. Are we in a position where you just want to move Javi Baez to shortstop full time and say Ben Zobrist is going to start at second base every day? I don't know. I mean, maybe you call up a guy like David Bodie if he's not in that deal, but
right.
I also feel like maybe if you're making that deal and you want to send a decent prospect, David Bodie is one of them.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of the guys, like we've seen like Miguel Amayo as an okay catcher, Aramis Adamine or Aidman. I always say his last name wrong. Those two guys are like, you know, some of the eventual, like might be a top five, top prospect for the Cubs at some point. But they're so young and probably still far away, a year or two away from being really considered that. It's just like the Mets are a team that it all depends on what they do. I guess if they blow up their team, clearly they'll want prospects, but it doesn't make sense for them if they're going to trade DeGrom to get Russell and Happ, who are, you know, ready to contribute now and the rest of your team isn't. It's like the issue is the Cubs just don't have a lot of young guys because they're all up on their roster right now, you know, playing actual Major League Baseball, where the rest of these guys are probably still 2-3 years away from being real impact players. I just don't know. It just doesn't seem like what the Cubs have and what the Mets need match up at this moment. But yeah, I mean, it would take a deal like that. And then you've got to consider, you know, who you're putting into these roles, because the Cubs don't have, I mean, like, Chesney Young could probably come up and play second base, but I mean, clearly, you know, he's been on the bubble for the roster 3 years in a row now. There's a reason he's not on this team yet. It's just like, I don't know. I just don't see it. None of it makes perfect sense to me. But, you know, neither did the Jose Quintana trade before it happened. Did I think that was going to happen either? So, I mean, shows you what I know. But
right, I'm kind of in the same place. I've already done one podcast where I said no, the Cubs aren't trading for Jacob DeGrom. I'm still sticking with no, they're not doing it. But I'm in a place where if there's legitimate rumors that they're talking about it, at least if they could put together a package, I believe they absolutely could put together a trade that the Mets would want to accept. It's just whether they would do that or not. I think, you know, it probably means one of Schwarber, Baez, or Wilson Contreras. That I don't think they want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Mets, that's what I'm asking for. Happen, Russell, don't do it for me to lose your best pitcher. Especially with what we've seen with how their pitchers' injuries have gone. Clearly DeGrom is a key to that. You got to get something bigger than those two pieces back. No shade towards those guys. I mean, clearly Russell and Happ are two guys that I love and have been enjoying all season. But yeah, they're not headline pieces for a guy like DeGrom.
No. All right, let's go to our final segment. So the Cubs lost, as we know, but good news, so did the Brewers and the Cardinals. Milwaukee got walked off in extra innings just like the Cubs, and that was thanks to a Starlin Castro RBI single. That's a 5-4 Brewers loss. The Cardinals were shut out by the White Sox 4-0, and the Reds are the interesting one here. They were brutally murdered by the Cleveland Indians, and it was probably just revenge for that 7-run rally the day before.
Yeah.
Like Cleveland dropped a 9-run third inning on the Reds and beat them 19-4. I've never seen so many position players on the mound striking out position players.
Yeah.
Alex Blandino pitched for the Reds yesterday. He had the best inning of any Reds pitcher. He went one inning, one hit, no walks, no runs, 2 strikeouts. What is going on here?
Right.
Same thing. Daniel Descalzo, who, you know, when he went to the mound for the Diamondbacks yesterday, he went, I think, 2 2/3 innings to really save the bullpen. He came in with one out in the fourth, and he doesn't exactly have, I mean, he has some movement on his pitches, but right. I think the hardest ball he throws is in the 70s, and he threw like a 55-mile-an-hour knuckleball up there, and he struck somebody out.
I just, like, I don't even, like, know how to, like, comprehend, like, major league pitching. Like, I could throw 75 miles an hour off a mound. Like, I don't know if it'd be good, but I could definitely do that. It's just crazy to think that, like, the major league baseball team decided to just do that. I get why. I clearly don't want to waste a bullpen arm, but it's so funny to see it, and especially them be successful throwing, like, 70 to 80 miles at most.
Yeah, I feel like Major League Baseball should do something like hockey does with the backup goaltender, where they have somebody in the arena who could just, like, throw on a sweater and go down and get in goal, like that Scott Foster guy did for the Blackhawks. But I feel like Major League Baseball should just have, like, a roster of, in case of emergency, we have 3 guys just sitting in the stands who could just throw on a jersey and go throw 75 on the mound.
Yeah,
it would be terrible. It would be just absolutely terrible. And I know Tommy Myers on Twitter, Full Count Tommy, he would be the first to sign up because he was a former pitcher. But I feel like there would be a lot of lawsuits for, like, torn rotator cuffs.
Oh my gosh, yeah, because, you know, people, like, would try and, like, crow hop from the mound if they could.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is ridiculous, and I know there are 1,000 reasons why it would never happen, but I would absolutely love to see it.
I think we should consider 26-man.
The last game, Pirates won 2-0 over the Washington Nationals, thanks to a 2-run homer by Starling Marte. So the Brewers are still 1.5 games up on the Cubs, now 55-38. The Cubs are 52-38, while the Cardinals remain 7 games back of first place at 47-44. The Pirates bump up to 11.5 back at 43-49, while the Reds are 41-52, 14 games back. Any final thoughts?
I mean, Cubs are still in a good spot to make a move. I just think Padres are a team that they could probably maybe make some ground up. I don't know who Milwaukee's playing this weekend. But if the Cubs can push and maybe, I mean, it'd be awesome to go in the All-Star break as the NL Central leaders. I don't know if that's going to happen because the Brewers have been just as hot. They're playing the Pirates, actually. So that seems unlikely, unfortunately. but
getting into the All-Star game still, getting to the break still 1.5 back would be a miracle at that point because they're playing the Pirates.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to see. But I mean, the Cubs are in a good spot right now. I guess you evaluate at the trade deadline once the All-Star game's over and decide if there is a piece out there you're going to consider. I would lean more towards not Jacob DeGrom, but you know, who knows? But yeah, I mean, as a Cubs fan, I'm comfortable with where they're at right now because they are positioned to make a move or, you know, make the push if they need to.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been episode 102 of Locked on Cubs. Thanks, Sean, for joining me. You can find his work. Why don't you tell people where they can find your work?
Yeah, of course, Locked on Cubs. I'll be doing plenty of stuff here with Ryan, of course, the website. I just recently accepted a job with NBC Sports. I'll be a web producer for them starting, I think, Monday. So I'll be doing stuff for them and then contribute still at FanSided's MLB site. I have a power rankings going up, I think, on Monday as well. And you can find the 312 live Saturdays at WCGO Evanston and the radio, as well as Facebook Live, anywhere you can find podcasts. We usually post the live show from Saturday. Usually Sunday morning. So, but yeah.
Yep. And you can find me at The Athletic occasionally. You can find me at Bet Chicago and various others coming in the future as well. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.